Good morning. The scripture reading for today is Acts 2, 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongues? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own languages." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the reading of God's word.
Let us pray. Draw us close, Holy Spirit, as the scriptures are read and the word is proclaimed. Let the word of faith be on our lips and in our hearts, and let all other words slip away. May there be one voice we hear today, the voice of truth and grace. Amen. Friends, it's good to see your faces this morning. I have to admit, I've forgotten what some of you look like without a mask covering half of your face. As I thought about it this week, it feels theologically appropriate to me that we got the go-ahead to remove our masks on Pentecost Sunday. I don't know about you all, but it has been a little bit challenging to hear what someone is saying to me when they're speaking to me with a mask on. It's easy to misunderstand a prayer request, or maybe sing the wrong lyrics to the hymn that we're singing, because I'm not quite hearing what verse we're on. And don't even get me started on the mix-ups I've had in the back of the sanctuary as somebody is trying to chat with me after church. It's been challenging to figure out how to be the church when we're having trouble understanding one another. Friends, today is a special day in the life of the church. On Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the Spirit's ability to unite believers of all languages. Whenever Christians gather and can understand one another, the Spirit is present. Sometimes I've witnessed the Spirit enable us to hear one another's languages. So Sometimes I've witnessed the Spirit enabling us to bestow grace when somebody misunderstands us. Pentecost, this infusion of the Spirit into the church, makes it possible for the church to fulfill her mission, to share the good news of Jesus with all the nations. But I think to truly appreciate the wonder of what's happening at Pentecost, it's helpful to remember why human beings struggle to understand one another in the first place. And for that, we're going to have to reach back in Scripture, all the way back to Genesis chapter 11, where we have the story of the Tower of Babel. And this story takes place after the flood. So we have one group of people, and they all speak the same language. Well, then this group of people got a little bit arrogant, and they decided to build a tower so that they could reach heaven. And God took this as a sign that they don't trust him. So God destroyed the tower and scattered the people and confused their language. It is really, really hard to do anything with a group of people that don't speak the same language. I think Jesus knows this. This is why after Jesus ascends to the Father, Jesus sends the Spirit to unify humanity. And it is the Spirit's presence that enables humanity to live in community with one another as they seek to follow Jesus in their lives. I've been thinking a lot about what this Pentecost unity means for what I'm calling the post-pandemic church. So now that things are starting to open back up again, there is great temptation to do all the things we haven't been able to do over the last year. But I don't think keeping up a frantic pace or making ourselves so busy is the goal when we say that we want things to return to normal. When people tell me that they want things to return to normal, what I hear them saying is that they want to be able to dream new dreams about their futures again. And one way that we do this in the church is by asking, what is this house-shattering, boundary-breaking, violent wind of a spirit up to in our church today? As I thought about this question, I thought about what type of church both churches are dreaming about becoming post-pandemic. And as we've made plans for our future, and as I've asked you all, what are the things you are most looking forward to doing again? Both of you said some version of hugs and food, which I take to mean you want to work on fellowship and mission. So first of all, hugs. Friends, we're all figuring out how to be within 6 feet of one another again, and it's a little awkward. One of the things that this pandemic has taught us is that it's actually really hard to share the peace of Christ with someone when you can't hug them, especially during those really important moments in the life of faith. So for things like baptisms and weddings and funerals. But this week, I can't believe I'm saying this, I even learned the importance of hugs in non-important moments. I wanted to thank someone for something that they did over the course of the pandemic, and the only appropriate thing to do was hug, and it felt great to be able to do that again. I know. Can't believe I'm saying this. I think the second area that we're figuring out together is food. I've been joking with both churches this week, telling them that on Pentecost, Kristen and I are gonna party like it's 2019, because both churches have had some kind of fellowship after church. So we're doing this because we want to celebrate Pentecost. We also want to celebrate and thank Kristen for her good work with us this year. But we also need to learn how to eat together again. Friends, I think think we're a little bit out of practice when it comes to eating together. We're a little awkward. We're not sure what is okay to do and what's not okay to do. But we are doing this. We're working through the awkwardness because I believe that one way the Spirit draws people into the triune God is when we sit down and we share a meal together. Friends, the reason that our church and churches focus on fellowship and on mission is because these are the things that draw people into Christian community. We spend time with one another because we want to get to know each other better. We serve others to express our gratitude over the fact that God loves and God cares for us. We also do these things because we want to practice our belief that Christian community is something worth fighting for. Now, I know when I talk about sharing the good news of Jesus with the nations, this can feel really big and scary and overwhelming. I'm just one person. How can I share something that I don't totally understand with people that I haven't even met yet? Well, the simple answer to this question is, you can't. Apart from the Spirit. It is the Spirit that draws folks into life with the triune God. It is the Spirit that smooths over the rough edges we all have over past disagreements in the church. And it is the Spirit that gives us hope and vision for a new future. That's not to say that we have no role to play in the Spirit's ministry. Each and every one of us is tasked with discerning the movement of the Spirit in our lives and in our faith communities, and then communicating that movement so that our community can move forward. Folks do this in a variety of ways. Some folks do this in a more formal, more public way, as they serve as session members and as deacons, where they work with me to discern the Spirit's movement in our building and among the life of our people. I've seen other folks do this in a little bit less formal of a way. There are some folks who are really good at keeping touch with members at home. There's other folks who are really good at keeping me informed about what's going on in our community. And there are some folks that have yet to miss sending out a birthday card or a graduation card or a thinking of you or get well card when somebody is going through something. Friends, now that the Spirit has descended upon the church, we all have a role to play in shaping the future of God's church in our communities. It doesn't matter how old you are, whether you are male, female, or a child. It doesn't matter what language you speak, or whether or not you grew up in the church. For as Peter reminds us, because of the Spirit, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Before I offer a word of blessing, just a reminder that please plan on staying for our congregational meeting and our fellowship. But before we do that, let me offer a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.